Welcome back to the Yoga, Bellies and Babies podcast. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Today's episode is a conversation that honestly I wish I'd had years ago. I sat down with Nicola Moberg and we dove deep into a topic that doesn't nearly get enough coverage or we don't talk about enough, honestly, perimenopause. And some of you might be thinking, why are we talking about perimenopause on a pregnancy and postpartum yoga podcast? Well, here's the thing. Our bodies are constantly changing, they're constantly evolving, and understanding what lies ahead helps us prepare with intention instead of fear. Nicola is the owner of Purna Yoga Studio in Helsinki, where she's been supporting women through pregnancy, birth, and beyond for over 15 years. She's also a fellow Birthlight trained prenatal and postnatal yoga teacher and a certified Purna Yoga teacher with over 500 hours of training and more, and has been training hundreds of yoga teachers since 2017. What I love about Nicola was her refreshingly honest approach to women's health. At 50, she's navigating perimenopause herself. And in this conversation, she shares everything. The symptoms that she has, symptoms that no one talks about, lifestyle changes that are actually helping her, and why she sees this transition as an empowering new phase instead of something to fear and something to dread. In our conversation, we get real about what Nicola refers to as the perimenopause circus, from broken sleep, brain fog, heart palpitations, identity shifts, nervous system changes. Nicola explained how yoga can support us through these hormonal transitions, why understanding your cycle is powerful at any age, and how the preparation that we do now makes all the difference for later. We also challenge some of the fear-based narratives around menopause and perimenopause, and we discuss natural approaches alongside medical options so that you can make informed choices for your own body. So whether you're in your 30s and just curious about what's ahead, or you're in your 40s and starting to notice changes, or you're even beyond and you're looking for support, this conversation is for you. And before we dive in, I want to ask you for your support. If you find these conversations valuable, please take a moment to subscribe, like, leave a review, or share this episode with a friend who might benefit from it. Your reviews and shares help me bring you more honest and empowering interviews like this one, and they help other women find information they're searching for. It really makes a difference in my ability to continue creating content that serves you. And now, let's dive in to my conversation with Nicola Moberg. Hi there. Welcome to the Yoga, Bellies and Babies podcast. I'm your host, Krishna Hasamal, a mama of four, a yoga teacher, and a scientist. I'm here to help you learn about the journey of pregnancy, birth, and parenthood through yoga, science, and most importantly, personal experiences. Each week, I'll talk to parents, science and healthcare professionals, and of course, yogis. You'll learn about the nitty-gritty details of pregnancy and birth, the ups and downs of postpartum, and the very unglamorous life of being a parent. And now, let's get to it. Hi, Nicola. Good morning.
Hey, Krish. Hello.
So you're logging in from Helsinki, and yeah. I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule. We'll just tell people how I know you. And I know you through Tove, who's one of your yoga teacher, also one of my yoga teachers I trained with, through the Purna Yoga community. And actually, I joined your studio online during my pregnancy and for postnatal during COVID. It was my second pregnancy and I was stuck at home, and it was so nice to have you were teaching, and there was another teacher also in your studio who was teaching prenatal. And then I joined the mom and baby's postnatal yoga as well. And now we're here 5 years later to talk about something related, but different. Yes. So before we get into that topic, I would love for you to introduce yourself and more tell us about what you do and how you help people.
Yeah, so, well, I'm Nicola. I'm originally from Austria, living here in Finland many, many years. But I always think like I'm probably came to Finland because I had to find Purna yoga, and I had to find kind of like my yoga path. So maybe that was one of the big things. What I do, I am a yoga teacher. I'm a postnatal and pregnancy yoga teacher, like you have already mentioned, and a Purna yoga teacher. I also teach teachers nowadays, which has become my passion of all the things of all these years, teaching people. And yeah, when people come to the studio, for me, my dharma, my reason why I'm doing is has been like to help people to live better lives. That was kind of like the starting point. But when I started yoga, I did my first training in 2003, four in that area, and actually in Spain, because you're from Spain. I used to live in Barcelona,
I'm
and
from USA.
yeah, that's and you know, and I heard that you're actually from Spain. I realized that yoga is great, but the start was quite like from the scratch, and I didn't know where it's going to take me. But I always had also a little bit that thing like, oh, I just wish I could change the world, you know, like a small task. And when I got pregnant, I got into the pregnancy yoga and realized that I was not prepared at all for it. And so that's why I started with Birthlight, same as you, right? So I met Françoise Friedman. I did my first training back then in 2009, and or even earlier a bit. I finished it in 2009 because I was just moving to Helsinki during that time. I had my two children, one born in Spain, one born in Finland, and in 2011 I came here to this studio where I'm right now, and started teaching post and prenatal yoga. And it was because of Tuve, you know. She's like, she was on her own here. She just started the studio. And she said, like, oh, if we could add this pregnancy yoga, would you like to teach it? And I'm like, yeah, super excited. And when I realized, hey, I was almost on the way to start to, go anywhere in the world to find a teacher, to find a system, to find what is this yoga all about? And then it was right here. It was
Amazing.
amazing. So I did in 2012, I did the first 200-hour teacher training here. I say the first one because I did seven of them afterwards as an assistant. And yeah, so in 2017, the studio became mine. So since then, I've been helping people like with pregnancy, postnatal, and of course, like everyone to really find themselves. So that has been my journey to help myself find myself and help others finding themselves. And now, of course, and that's why we are talking today, you know, it's that phase. I turned 50 this year, and it's a new
Congratulations.
phase, thank you, of perimenopause and menopause, which
Yes.
became a high topic for me.
Yeah, because I saw it came up on my Instagram. Suddenly you were there and you were talking about how you've started perimenopause, and I was like, oh. Because for me you've been prenatal and postnatal,
Yeah.
really. And then I've been following you, and I love the fact that you're one, talking about it, but two, also showing us how we can use yoga to
Yes.
manage it. And actually, I came across one of your videos on YouTube, which was yoga for strong bones. And I did that last week and I absolutely loved it. So
Nice.
I will talk about yoga a little bit later, but
Yeah.
can we talk about perimenopause at the moment in from your experience? Like, where are you now? What have you been experiencing in the last few years? How did you even know you were in this phase?
I didn't know.
Because you did say on the last email, you said you used the word circus. You said, I'm going through this perimenopause circus.
Perimenopause circus,
What
yes.
is this circus?
It's funny because exactly back then when I came to this studio, I was in my mid-30s, and these women, and one of them was Tuva, they talked about menopause. I'm like, when I get there, I will know, you know, I'll take care of it when it's time. And so I have kind of like ignored it for many, many years, but just the perimenopause and menopause subject itself, because what I didn't ignore was like taking care of my body. So my regular asana practice, my like meditation practice, my nutrition and lifestyle, all of that I had in place. And so when I was about 45, I had some very strange symptoms. So first of all, I talked to somebody at the studio, and this person says like, oh, I have trouble sleeping. And then I tell her, you know, take this supplement. It's very good. It helps me. And then suddenly I'm like, why do I not sleep? And first of all, it was because I thought my daughter, who woke me up until she was six every single night, she called me and I was waking up and I was like, my nervous system is gonna break if she continues doing that. So of course, I thought I must have my nervous system must be just off because of her. But then I started to get these very strange heart palpitations. So this was, I was 45. And I still didn't relate it to anything, but okay, I went, I'm not really so much going into doctors very fast. And my husband said, like, just go to a doctor and, find out what, if everything is okay. And everything was okay, of course. And nobody of them, the cure to them to say, hey, maybe your hormones are changing. Nobody knew, right?
Really?
So it was very strange.
It
It
didn't
was,
occur to them to do a check, a blood check, a hormone check, or anything.
yes, so I did the blood check on myself then with the lab, and so I was low on ferritin, so I took some iron, which was helping. And but it was interesting, that doctor who was listening, of course this was a general practitioner, this was nobody specialized, but she was listening at my heart, and in this moment I have this boom, 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 like this fluttering in the heart, and she's like, everything is okay. But I'm like, don't you hear this? And she's like, no, I don't notice. Then I thought, okay, forget about this. There's
Yeah.
no point being here because I'm feeling good otherwise,
The
right?
point is that
So,
you felt a change in your body.
yes.
You knew something was changing, but it couldn't be detected
They,
by the doctor.
exactly. They didn't, they couldn't tell. And so then I forgot about all of that, but I still continued because the heart palpitation became better. It just went away. I never had them again since I was 45. And, but the sleeping was still always a bit, So luckily, and this I'm saying luckily, but at the same time, I'm almost embarrassed that only in my 40s, and that was maybe in 30s, beginning of 40s, I started to learn about my cycle. Think about that. Like I teach this now to my teenagers, to get to know where they are, how they feel, where they are. And I didn't know this, And so at this point, I realized, okay, I'm feeling certain symptoms when I'm premenstrual. And interestingly, my menstruation until like a few months ago was completely regular, because that would be the sign, right? Okay, the cycle gets a little bit strange, so you must be in perimenopause. But I had a normal cycle, so I never thought about that it would be anything related to perimenopause or menopause. And so I was like, I was just observing myself for many years, really. And just noticing, okay, at this time of the month, I'm feeling like this, I'm not sleeping. And now I'm sleeping most of the month, but the 2 days a month, it's a little bit more like that. And yeah, so I went along like this. And at 48, I decided, okay, now I need to study. Now I need to learn more. And I got very excited about this because I realized, oh my God, there are so many women have so many symptoms. I'm quite lucky and quite happy. And I must say, like I mentioned, it was the yoga practice, because just the fact that you do regular inversions, how they are balancing your hormones, right? So it's starting from there. And then the detoxing of, this is something which is part of my life. I'm always some in some way or another detoxing my body. Sometimes I even do proper detoxes, and sometimes I just, or regularly, I just, with what I eat and what I drink as well. So I think that those things definitely helped.
Those things are things that you have been doing over the years as part of the lifestyle that you've adopted through Purna Yoga, maybe, or other practices, right?
Exactly. And I think most of the people, or most of the people, don't do that. They just live normal, have their jobs, do their
Or they,
thing.
yeah, or they know about these practices because we all know that we could do these things, but we don't do
But
them.
then don't
Or
do them.
whatever.
Yes. That's maybe one big thing
Like,
as
I'm very
well. But
aware of some of these lifestyle practices, but I don't do them.
yes,
So,
that's
yeah.
true.
Or
Yeah.
I
I
think,
mean,
oh, I'll do it later. I'm not there yet. When I'm there yet, I'll take care of myself, right? Like, subconsciously.
yes. And it's little by little as well, especially when I started in 2020, I started teaching 200-hour teachers. And the integrity is very important, So then I really had to live up to my yoga. I mean, I always in some way did, but this is a process, like you see yourself. When the children are small, you're like, whatever.
Yes.
You do what you can, smile at the rest, like our teacher Adil would say. And then at some point it comes like, okay, but now I can, implement more and more things. And over the years, I did implement a lot of things which I wished I would have done already 20 years ago. But, we are all in a process.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that because I also turned 40 this year, and it's only this, I just literally last week bought myself a book called Period Power by Maisie Hill to start. And I was like, I'm 40, and now is the first time I'm picking up a book that explaining to me about period, but also from a powerful point of view, not just like something you have to suffer. And it's so interesting. Of course, we learn things as we go along, but nothing is taught to us,
No.
either in school or at home. And we have to be active about learning about our own women's health. And then, so I feel like now I'm learning about period, but I also have to start learning about perimenopause and menopause because it's coming. And I love what you said about the symptoms because I feel like the only symptoms that we see on media, on TV, or that we hear about at home, the only are hot flashes and the irregular periods, right? And I don't know about you, but I feel like this is the only thing I've heard about in my household, for example, with my mom, my relatives, my aunts, my grandmas. But I feel like they also thought that those were the only symptoms. And maybe, do you think that they, all these previous generation of women struggle with a whole load of other symptoms and they didn't know that it was perimenopause and menopause?
I would say partly because I also believe that they may have not struggled as much as what we have today because the world wasn't as toxic in those days. They had other issues. Of course, there was maybe not enough food, but the food they ate was clean, right? So I think a lot of problems and a lot of the list of symptoms we have today is because of the toxicity. And I believe, like, why I? Because, like, I remember. My teacher was Françoise Friedman from Birthlight and the founder of Birthlight. And she would always say, what you don't take care of now, you will take into menopause. And this was pregnancy, postnatal time. And so I was very aware, doing the recovery, doing everything. But what I wasn't aware of, maybe, or I, of course, there's also ignorance is bliss sometimes, that before I started yoga and before I had a healthy lifestyle, I had exactly the opposite of a healthy lifestyle. I lived very unhealthy. So I may think, and then I always thought, like, well, thank God my body has been cleaning all this past. But now, as I'm having these weird symptoms, and again, they are not that heavy, but there are symptoms, I think I'm carrying something from that time with me. Yeah, so and maybe some people, people have been drinking a little bit, smoking a little bit here and there. Everyone maybe in their youth that has done that. But I did a lot of that. And over many, many years, and started really early, like at 14 or something. I grew up in this village, nobody cared. Like, you just went to the bars and nobody asked for an ID. So you're young, you smoke, you drink, you do all these things, and it's not a good time to start with all that. So I think that's what I carry with me because my last 20 years have been very conscious, very healthy, as much as possible, of course, in this kind of world. Because you cannot even, for example, I would love to eat only organic food, but you don't get only organic food. So
And
we
it's not
are
affordable for everybody to eat everything
exactly,
organic and
yeah.
clean for.
But I mean, I must also say, like, okay, I because many say you have to see how was your mother in menopause, what did she feel? And my mother, for example, what did she have? They were taking her uterus out, so it's a restomectomy. I don't remember what it's called.
It's like a female hysterectomy. I'm thinking
Hysterectomy, it's called, exactly.
hysterectomy.
Yes, at 40. And then she said, and then I never had anything. But the depression, the chills, there's a lot of things which went on with her. And when we now talk about it, I say, like, well, this was probably related, even though your uterus was gone, but the ovaries were still there. I mean, there was no more period. So she couldn't really tell. So for that reason, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, there was a lot of this. It's just happening to me now. I know one of my aunts who was sweating a lot, like through all her 50s and 60s. I could always see with sweat on
Yeah, that's
her.
the image I have as well. My aunt going like, getting the fan out and just getting hot and red and just saying, "Oh, it's something is creeping up my spine and it comes to my head." And But that's what I mean. Like it's really the hot flashes, and it's also what you see on TV and in movies,
Yes.
women like,
Yeah.
oh, but there's so much more to that for
There's
such
so
a
much more to
long
that.
period of
Yes.
time.
Yeah. And I honestly, because like in terms of Ayurveda, I am very Vata, you know, which is the air quality. So I'm very dreamy, airy, also super creative. And that in the perimenopause can get worse. So for example, what a lot of symptoms or one symptoms of this list of symptoms is like brain fog. And so I was always a little bit easy forgetful. You know, yoga really helped me to focus, work with yourself. But when it comes to things at home, I can be so forgetful. And it's very hard on my husband. You know, it's like, how can you not write this down? How can you know, it's these kind of things. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But you know, I think this has to do also with perimenopause. I don't want to find an excuse for being forgetful. But I think a lot of women suffer from that. You know, you go into another room and you don't know why you went. Very
But I think it's
typical.
not the excuse. I mean, that happens during pregnancy, right? As well. I feel like
Yes.
a lot of symptoms are similar to pregnancy,
Yeah.
but it's not that we use it as an excuse, but it makes you understand where it's coming from. And then you're like, okay, it's not me. It's not that there's something wrong with me that I'm
Yes.
feeling this way. It's just my body responding in a certain way to some chemical changes that are happening internally.
Absolutely,
And
yeah.
then that itself, knowing that it's not you, you're not stupid, you haven't lost your ability, you've just going through something.
So important, yes.
And how I'm interested because all these symptoms, right? They don't sound very positive. Brain fog, anxiety, loss of sleep. There's also, you hear about weight gain, you hear about bone density decreasing, you hear about
Vaginal dryness, you
vaginal
know,
dryness.
loss of libido. This is what,
Exactly.
especially that nobody talks about.
Nobody talks about, it's pretty
Yeah.
scary.
Yes.
They're kind of given to us as negative, and what I'm seeing a lot in them, it's good in one way that people are talking about perimenopause a lot. On the other way, it's giving me a bit of panic. Because I'm feeling like this is coming. It's not going to be nice. I'm going to have to suffer. People are talking about HRT and hormonal replacement theory, and I'm feeling, but wait a minute, my hormones are changing? Do I like it's already it's like you have to go fix yourself, right?
Yes,
It's
I
like
know.
something is coming, you need to delay it, you need to stop it. How can you fix yourself? And it's not going to be good. And you are kind of saying bye to this big part of you. Like you're kind of, it makes you feel like you're losing your youth or womanhood or usefulness as a woman because it marks the end of your reproductive cycle. I mean, these are the projections that
Yes.
I'm seeing as a young
Yes.
mother. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to say young mother. I'm going to say mother of young children.
You're still young.
Was so young, yeah, but like 40, getting there. So how do we deal with all of this? One, it's good that we have information about it, but two, it's not very positive information. Like it's something bad is going to happen to you, and here's the solution on how to
Yes.
fix it.
Yes, and that's one big thing, you know, there we apply something which we in yoga use is discernment. Like when you look for a teacher, you discern what, you know, who I'm actually listening to. And so I'm quite broad in who I listen to, and I also listen to people where I don't agree with what they are saying in many ways, but there are some things I learn from and it's very interesting. And you know what happened? There has been this boom of these medical doctors who have been women going through menopause and realizing that they never learned anything about it in their school, right? So they go through it and realize, okay, we need to do something about this. And so they speak up a lot and they're very popular. And I'm happy. Those are the ones who are the drivers in actually we have to speak about it. But you know, there is another side to it because they then speak about, okay, this is what you're going through, but don't worry, there is help for you. You know, there is the HRT, the hormone replacement therapy, and as long as you take that, you're gonna be fine. Okay, so now I'm listening to somebody else who has a very alternative way of thinking, which I'm much more on that side. And this person says, like, hey, you know what? First of all, your hormones go down for a reason. You're losing those hormones, or you, I don't want to say losing them, your hormones are changing, because it's not so that we're completely out of, yeah, okay, our ovaries are not producing progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone anymore, but now our adrenals are taking over to do that. And so the lifestyle, again, the doing your restorative yogas, you know, doing your relaxations, and don't be the crazy, busy, running around woman like most of us are in our 30s. You know, you just got to slow down and respect that. And then there's still a small amount of those hormones produced. But like I said, I had symptoms, so something was off, right? So I just learned that you can also use from nature a cream, for example, which gives you progesterone. And this was like a completely wow for me, because first I thought like, oh, I don't need anything of that. And so I listened to the ones who even recommend the bioidentical HRT. So it's like, it's bioidentical, it's all fine, it's like close to what your own body produces, but it's still not natural for me enough. You know, I'm still saying like, I don't know, we don't know. This has existed popularized since 2017. We have no
Relatively
long-term
new. We don't know.
nothing about it,
We don't
right?
have enough research about it.
Exactly. But then we know that, like, for example, wild yam, Mexican wild yam, has been used always, you know, and probably those back then who had the knowledge and the wisdom, they used these kind of foods, and nowadays they made it into a cream. And there is another product which is called chaste berry. Like when I read about this in one of those doctor's books, and I was like, I need to get chaste berry. And both the wild yam and the chaste berry, very difficult to get. None of those ladies who recommend the HRT say, hey, there would be a natural alternative. There would be something else which you could try. So I'm going for that, right? I want to try that because I know it's not going to have, maybe it's not going to work, but it doesn't have any side effects in the end. And then it also turns out I've been consuming this product. It's called Shilajit. Have you heard of that? It's a Himalayan, it's like tar. It's from the Himalayas. They take it out of the ground, and it's supposed to be like millions of years old, you know, dirt basically. And a lot of it was very popular with men because of the testosterone. And so I bought this at some point, and I'm like, oh, I can't take this because it tastes a little bit like, it's called Shilajit. Cheat, but it tastes a little like shit, so not that great. And then when I heard this,
You're
and
not selling it very well.
no, I'm not. But actually, it's made. It's just it smells. It's like eating soil. It tastes a little bit like that. So then I'm kind of like using those three things. I have something for testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen, and that's how I'm going now. You know, because I had a time, like a few months ago, where I felt like, uh-oh, something is now, something's off. I need to do something. And I'm the kind of person I always want to fix right away. And so now I was like, okay, sit back and sit it out, feel it, what's happening. And so basically, if you're in the world of the cycle, you know, the winter is the period cycle, the menstruation cycle, and then it comes the spring, where you're getting out of that phase, you know, it's blooming. The summer is the ovulation phase. You're feeling super energized. You have a lot of testosterone. And then you get into autumn, where the progesterone hits in, and you get slowly, like autumn really is, back into winter. And so I was feeling I'm going from autumn to winter, back to autumn, back to winter.
You're skipping the
And
best parts. You're
skipping
making
the best
spring and
parts. I'm
summer.
like, hallelujah, you know. I need to do something. And the thing is, like, when you know your cycle, you also know, right? Before I came to winter, I know I am in autumn. I know it. I feel like this all the time. So I think the yoga practice, because you mentioned it, is so important, because you need to not get to know your body, because we are so individual. And so when you know yourself, you can say, hey, this is how I feel now. This is what I need to do now. And then in the end, you know, you can do what you need and not what somebody else thinks what you should do.
And how liberating is it to know, okay,
Yes.
something is off, and instead of reaching immediately for that, saying, okay, let me sit, let me observe, let me, and how liberating is it for you to realize, oh, I'm skipping these two parts of my monthly cycle. We're just kind of bypassing it. For you, that's just like a moment, like a light bulb moment, right? A moment of
Yes.
relief of like, oh my God, I know what's going on. And okay,
Yes.
maybe you can't fix it. Maybe you have to sit with it. Maybe there's no supplement that exists for that, or maybe there is, right? But, how much freedom do you get from understanding
what's going on.
Yes.
I just, with the whole topic of the supplements, whether they're natural or they're not, I feel like there's a balance between, as this came up in the pregnancy yoga last week, someone was suffering from heartburn and she didn't feel bad. Another mom was like, but just take, there's some medicine you can get that will help you with the heartburn. It doesn't do any damage to baby. And there was this debate about, no, should you endure this symptom because it's part of what you're going through right now? Or the other one was saying, no, you don't have to suffer. It's okay to have that symptom, but you don't have to suffer. So if there's a medicine or a supplement that you can take it, right?
Yes.
And I find that it's like this with everything, and it's going to happen to us throughout our whole life. We're going to keep getting these symptoms, and we have to keep doing that work of observing, understanding where it's coming from, and then deciding, okay, do I want to kind of suffer and say that in speech marks, or kind of breathe through this pain of whatever it is that I'm going through? Do I want to take that supplement because I don't need to suffer, right? And that's where you have to look at yourself and look at your lifestyle, look at your environment, look at where you are in life. Can you handle that extra symptom at this point in life? Or
Exactly,
are
yeah.
you in a place where you just can't deal with extra and you need to take that, whether it's a natural cream or it's an over-counter medicine, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I also maybe want to mention I did like a little bit of research because this is we are so influenced by everyone, everything and everyone. And then I'm in part of this group, which is a Facebook group. It has like 18,000 people. I got in there through somebody, and it's lots of women who do fasting, who work a lot with fasting actually. And so I was asking there this question, who's gone through menopause with HRT and who has gone without? And I want to know how were you? How did you do it? And I got at least 200 comments. It was amazing. And so the result of it was there was a small percentage who goes through without anything and they're fine. They have no problems. And so the ones who are actually saying never do it without is the ones who just suffer a lot as well, right? So they have everything for them comes at once. And I mean, understandable, that you're like in this busy life and you have all this stuff going on and suddenly you're like, just give me anything because I want to live normally. I want to be myself. That's what a lot of women say. I want to be myself again because I don't feel like myself anymore. So there is a very big understanding. I have a big understanding for these women, but that's why I say if we learn early enough about it, then we don't have to wait until everything hits us at once, right? So you notice one thing, hey, what can I do? How can I change my lifestyle? And then it won't hit you so hard, and then you can go. Take care of it one thing at a time, maybe.
Actually, yesterday I went for a yoga workshop and the topic was perimenopause, actually.
Okay.
And the teacher, she said, it's like you're on a straight line and there's a curve coming ahead and you need to start slowing down. Because if you're driving very fast on a straight road and you know there's a curve coming ahead and you don't slow down, you're not going to be able to turn and you're going to crash. So you need to start now to slow down way before it comes, so that you're able to take that curve and go with it. So
Absolutely.
it sounds very familiar, similar to what you're saying. So I'd like to talk about how to tools to slow down and yoga, because there's the slowing down aspect, right? But there's also the strengthening aspect. So how do you use yoga to support yourself and other women through perimenopause?
Well, first of all, until I was 48, I felt like yoga is enough, and it was enough. I felt strong, I felt a good balance, but I also noticed that I started to get more and more flexible, which of course many people would think like, oh, that's a positive thing. But if I was always quite open, and then when you start to feel like you get a little bit more open, especially since I've been working with postnatal for so many years, and whenever I teach postnatal, I work my pelvic floor as well. So I always felt like I have a very strong pelvic floor, but at some point there was like, oh my God, it's not there anymore. That strength is not there anymore. And of course, when we lose the estrogen, that strength goes away. So that's when I decided I start doing some weight training because I listen to other people, but then I listen to my intuition as well. And I felt like that's the right thing for me now to do. And now I go according to my cycle to the gym. So it's not like every week, and this is again, we women follow a man's calendar, because when we do something once a week, it's not the same, because we need to do something according to when we have strength, and then do something else according to when we have less strength. So when I'm in my high phase, I'm going to the gym 2, 3 times a week. When I'm in my low phase, meaning I need more restoratives and relaxation, I don't go at all. But I don't punish myself for not going. I'm more like, this is exactly what I need. Also, because as I weight train in a phase where I shouldn't, then my nervous system goes completely out. Yeah. So it's again listening and saying, like, okay, this is good for me now. And there's other times which is not so good for me now. But I do recommend, I work much more on this also in the classes. Of course, in general, people come to yoga and they're quite tight. You know, there's tension everywhere. And you cannot build strength on a body which is super tense. And this is also the reason why, you know, you've done the 200-hour training. It's all about opening, opening, opening. But at some point, when people are open, then
You
we
need
need to
to strengthen.
strengthen. Yeah. So somebody who goes to the gym all the time and they don't maybe do yoga and don't do so much stretching, they may experience completely different symptoms, but they're also very tied up. Yeah, so they're strong but also tied up. So it's just about the balance. Yeah, so adding some strength into a little bit more strength, because like I said, until 48, my shirshasanas were enough. That's my arm strength. My standing poses was
Because
enough.
that was my question, right? We talk about like obviously, well, the reasoning is that estrogen decreases and that's important for our bone density. And the message I keep getting is weightlifting, weight, lift weight, lift weights, lift weights, right? But if you're doing a inversion, if you're doing a headstand, Shirshasana, are you not lifting your full body weight?
Exactly,
Isn't that
you
like
do.
holding
You do.
like pressing 50 kilos or 60 kilos or whatever?
Absolutely, you do. And think about the standing poses, you know, you work your quadriceps. The thing is, like, from what I happened, for example, what happened to me in standing poses, because I'm so open, I get very lazy. So I don't need to contract my quadriceps. And so actually my weak point are my legs, because I have a massage therapist friend and she says, you know, you're a little bit out of balance. You're super strong in the top. It's also very rewarding at the gym, the upper body. I love that. And the legs are kind of like, well, I cycle, I walk a lot, I take stairs, you know, how much more leg work do I need? But now I started to, after advice of my friends, like, do a little bit more leg work. And it feels very good, because there's much less fatigue. Again, like if you do the standing poses, like it was taught in the very, like, in the beginning, I don't want to say the beginning, because the beginning of yoga was a very long time ago. But when our teacher was still practicing yoga, you know, they did 8 hours per day of asana. It was a little bit different,
You could
you
say like
know.
maybe 50 years ago, to put it into
Exactly,
context.
50 years ago, that's how they practiced. And so nowadays, nobody has this kind of time, discipline, anything to do that long of a practice. And I used to do, I have also taken a break, these 3 hour practices with Adil, which were amazing, because there I felt I get all of that.
3 hour practices.
3 hour practices, yes. But then when that ended, I thought, like, okay, I'm just gonna, it's also a matter of saving time. I go to the gym because I do 50, 60 minutes there. I do some strength, then I do some asana, and it feels great. So I really like it.
Can you explain for anyone who's listening who wants to be a little more technical? You said when you're in the standing pose, you can contract your quadricep and that works. That's strength training. Can you explain why contracting your quadricep when you're in a standing pose? Let's say, for example, Tadasana, mountain pose, or Virabhadrasana 2, which is warrior 2 pose. Can you explain to someone who doesn't fully know
Yeah.
why is contracting your quadricep so important?
Yeah, it's funny, right? Because when we see yoga poses, especially standing yoga poses, we think like you just stand there, right? But the whole idea is that you have an action, you know? So every action has a consequence. And if you are just standing somewhere, you use the minimum of action. So just what's necessary to keep you upright. But now, when we are in a standing pose, for example, and we very much focus, not on all of them, it depends on the standing pose, but on the quadriceps, which are the big thigh muscles, these are four muscles, and they are basically our stabilizers. When they are strong, they hold our backs up. And a lot of people have back problems because the legs are not working. Yeah, so now when you activate the legs, I can only describe it, you create some power. Yeah, this is where the yoga becomes very ego, because you're like, oh, I'm so powerful with my leg. That's another subject. But like, just in terms of like for everyone to understand that when we are doing standing poses, we are standing with action. We are standing with intention. And when you do that, then you get the benefits of the pose as well. And like I said, because I'm open in the hamstrings, and so that's why I can go deep in a pose without having to do the work. And so that's what can make me very lazy. Whereas somebody who is super strong in a leg, or actually tight in the hamstrings, because it's very common, they have a much harder time to get in there, and then they will feel the action also much more. Yeah, because they kind of have to, because if they don't do the action, then they cannot even like they would feel a strain in the hamstrings, let's say like this. Yeah.
But then how to, so it's about finding that balance in a yoga practice for someone who's going through perimenopause, menopause, to keep strengthening through the yoga, but then also use the yoga to, because you mentioned the other half of the month you're doing restorative poses.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, it's exactly for that reason, because the energy goes down. So if there is a normal cycle around ovulation, I'm still super strong. I'm still feeling very good. But the moment I feel I get into a premenstrual phase, which is the autumn, then as soon as I feel I need to, I'm doing too much, and this is only now since in my 40s or in my late 40s, my nervous system starts to rise so much that I can't sleep. So I'm going to feel in the end of the day, I go to sleep, I feel completely normal. The moment I lie down, I feel my heartbeat racing faster. I can't breathe through. That's a sign I've been overdoing it. Yeah, so that's why, and I'm saying I'm doing restoratives. I do some stretching, of course, as well. So I'm doing a practice where I open up the hips, where I do all these gentler things, and then add the restorative. Whereas, of course, during menstruation, there is mostly just restorative. But I also noticed something interesting, that I can go back faster into being more active than I used to think. I used to be like about 6 days, okay, this is when I'm bleeding, you don't want to do really anything, obviously, for that reason. But now I'm only bleeding like for a short 2 days, and then it goes less and less and less. And after day 4 or 5, I'm already feeling like, I want to do something again, because I had the autumn already there, right? And now I'm at the end of the winter, and at the end of the winter, I want to start get going. Not in the same way as in the summer, but still getting more active again. So that's the reason is really the nervous system.
So it's basically the hormones changing during the month, and that affects the nervous system. And then we use the yoga poses to balance the nervous system. So instead
Exactly.
of like thinking of it weekly, our weekly yoga class, or we should think of it monthly. Instead of saying every week you do a strong practice and a restorative practice and a this, it's really, we should be looking at things month, maybe monthly is not the right
Yes.
word, but cyclically on.
Cyclically. And
On a
BKS
menstrual cycle.
Iyengar did that. So in
Yes.
his system, there was always beginning of the month standing poses, then there was back bends. First it was standing poses, back bends, and twists. And at the end of the month, there was the restoratives. So he built it up like that for the month. But he was also a man. So what my dream is, and I have not manifested that yet, is to go with the moon cycle. Because a lot of women cycle with the moon. And there's a lot of post-menopausal women as well, so that you do the practice according to the moon. And then everyone gets at least a little bit into the ride. Because, of course, you have a yoga class here. There's some guys, some women in their 20s,
You
others in
can't,
their
of course,
70s.
you can't do that in a mixed group. But so that's an interesting question then. So after the cycle has stopped, after you stop menstruating, when you hit menopause, because that's one of my biggest worries at the moment. I feel so attached to my identity is so linked to my monthly cycle, because it tells me so much about myself, like how I'm feeling, how I'm sleeping. My energy levels are so linked to my menstrual cycle that I'm very scared that I'm going to lose my identity when my menstrual cycle finishes. That's something I'm dealing with internally. So for women, so you're talking about yoga poses changing throughout the month and us to balance our menstrual monthly hormonal balances. I'm not getting the words right through yoga. But what happens when that finishes? When you Does that mean that a post-menopausal woman can just do, how should she balance her yoga poses or her works, her
Yeah, well,
workout,
that's a good question. Yeah,
when there
it
is
comes
no
up.
monthly cycle anymore?
Yeah, and I think it's important. First of all, it's very interesting what you say when you say you're kind of like your identity is with your cycle, and that's what it is also should be. But there is this thing that your identity changes, right? You are going from being the mother who's all the time behind the children, taking care. It's the estrogen which is makes there is this saying like you're always pleasing everyone else. But when these hormones going away, you're not going to be like that anymore. Your identity will be, I'm going to please myself now. I did for long enough. I took care of this, and now I'm going to take care of it. This happens to a lot of women.
I
Yeah,
see that in
that's
my mother, actually.
yes.
She
And this
doesn't know
is
where it's come from, and I think exactly
yes,
what you're talking
100%, 100%. Because it's just what the estrogen does, and it's natural, right? Because you have to take care of your children. You cannot say like, do your thing. I'm taking care of me. But there is that time, you hit about 50, a little bit more, and then you're like, okay, because my teenagers, they don't need me in the same way anymore. I was always kind of focused on myself, but they are like a little bit like, they know where I am now as well. I explain it as well. But yeah, and to answer your question, so I have women who are post-menopause, and they are still very interested in this whole subject because they still, some of them, experience heavy symptoms. Yeah, so I just had a talk on Saturday where I invited people for it was we just had it on Zoom, a little bit more intimate. And there was a lady, she was 70, and another lady was 40. Happy to both, because the one at 40, like you, wants to know what's coming. The one at 70 is gonna tell what came, so very, very interesting. And so what I tell to women when you wanna exercise, eat fast, all of these. With your cycle, then you do it after your menstruation has stopped, you do it with the moon. So basically, the new moon is the menstruation and the full moon is the ovulation. So you can for this is that that's my plan. Once the menstruation is gone, then I'm going to follow that because I notice as well how women are super energetic, around the full moon, like and next week or maybe 10 days later, like dragging themselves here. I'm like, yeah, it has all to do with that. Of course, we have a long dark winter, so our it's that cycle as well.
You
So
also
we
have to
just
adapt to the season, right? So I
absolutely.
guess it's not, maybe your own body, that bleeding cycle, that menstrual cycle has gone, but there's other cycles that we can use, right? So that's, I think, you turn to nature, whether it's the moon or the season that you're in, and you adapt to that cycle.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And I think it's good that we do that because it's something which we have not been taught, and it's sad because it's that's how it's supposed to be. And I think everyone takes their power into their own hands the moment they are knowing their cycle. Like I haven't even used contraceptive after my children. I used my cycle. So of course some say like, oh, it's a big risk, and oh, but it worked.
That's how confident you are in your own body and your own power.
Exactly, yeah. So you have to be in tune, of course, and that's work too. It doesn't come for free. Oh, now I'm going to decide to, do this. It's of course years of practice, but I feel like it's never too late to start. If you're like in your 60s or even your 30s, start learning about yourself, feel where you are, and also even with the cycles of the seasons, all of that is very, very important.
I'd like to end on something that you said. I saw you said this somewhere on Instagram. You said that now at 50 you feel better than you did in your 40s, and that you've only seen positives of these changes. So you talked about perimenopause, and of course you described the symptoms. They're not all pleasant, but you said that you've only seen positives come out. So this struck me because I don't hear this. I don't hear people saying that there's positives. I hear the negatives, and I hear about the solutions, but I'm very interested, and I think it's very important to reframe the way we look at these changes. Of course, we're getting older. It's maybe the goodbye to our youth. So how do you see positive, and how do you not? Why are you? It seems to me you're not grieving. You're not grieving this loss of yourself.
Yeah, I think maybe that's a very big aspect of that, you know, how you see getting older, how you see, like, I needed to change my way of seeing older people first. Because when my view is like this, yes, they're getting gray hair, they are not so fit anymore, they are not really doing that much interesting things, you know, of course, I'm not respecting the elderly. But when I start seeing them as the ones who hold the wisdom, the ones who came before us and did all of this, so much knowledge they have, you know, so then I start to respect them and see them from that view of like, please tell me your stories. Because we are often a little bit like, it depends, you know, if you have older people around, like some want to tell their stories, others don't. But we should really like take everything from them, what they have. And I was a small kid when my grandmother, she died. I was maybe 14 when she died, but I was very like 10 maybe. And I was asking her because she was telling stories. And now when I was an adult, I was like, my God, I wish I would have listened to more of the stories what she was telling. So for me, what happened is that why I see it as a positive thing, first of all, because now I'm not the one anymore who's just looking after everyone else, but now I'm looking after myself. And I must say, I've always been a little bit like that. You know, sometimes almost a little bit, yoga makes a little bit egotistical in some way, but it's the path of transformation, right? But I let's say it's guilt-free. You know, that before there's still a little bit like, oh, I'm taking care of myself. I have this studio. I want to build this business. And then I still have the kids. And the kids should, they were my focus, but they are not my main focus anymore. And you have to be honest. You cannot do everything perfect, right? It's impossible. You cannot run a successful business and be 100% with your children. Because if you have a successful business, you can't be 100% with your children. But that you have to make up with yourself. Like, you know, what is it what I want? What is my purpose? Because I know women, their purpose is to be with the children 100% and they don't want anything else. And it doesn't matter. We don't have to be like that. I think it's totally okay. My children are teenagers and I really respect them and they respect me. And we have done very well, even though I had a business to run and that was often like, oh, whatever, you know, have you made your homework or not? Whatever, I don't care.
You were
So,
not there for everything because you were
no,
running your yoga studio and building the
exactly.
business.
Yes, and then there is the guilt. And like I say, like what makes me happy now that I can live my life guilt-free and also that I have the knowledge. Because when I was in my 40s, I didn't know. And so when you're going towards something and you're like a little bit like, oh, it's a little scary. But the soon as I started learning about it, I'm like, knowledge is power, right? We know that. And so that's why I feel better. I'm doing things to myself, which they are not a surprise anymore. Like I said earlier, I sit it out, I observe, I see what's happening, what's coming next. And for that reason, I feel even if there comes a symptom, until now, my symptoms have all been very good at bay. And like I said to you first, like it's a little bit of a circus, you know, because some things happen here and there. But I still feel that I have it under control. And that makes me feel more like at ease with it as well. Yeah, so it's kind of like exciting. It's like I'm excited for what's coming next because the 40s are behind, the grow, you know, the kids thing. Of course, your kids will be kids when they're adults. You know, you take care of them. But still, they're a little bit more individuals. They have their own thing, their own life. And we're still together, but you know, everyone's doing their own thing. And I feel like I wish this when I was in my 20s or let's say 30s, when I learned about yoga, I always thought like I have to go there already, you know, so far. Everything felt so far. And now I lived all this, which is a natural process. And now I feel like I'm getting into that next phase, like, welcome, you know, whatever it brings me. That's definitely, yeah.
That's such a
Yeah.
nice way of looking at
Yeah.
it. Looking at it with excitement and with like, oh, I can imagine like, welcome, open arms. I'm ready to hug this new part of myself that's coming in instead of trying to delay it and fight it. I actually Googled, I'm not ashamed, about a month ago, how can I delay menopause naturally? Because it's like there must be some natural things I can do to slow this down. But like it's so nice to hear from you this reframing of like a new part of your life, ready to
Yeah.
welcome this new identity. and accept that our identity changes as we go
Yes,
along, right? As it has
absolutely.
through pregnancy and through motherhood. And it what you said reminded me of, because we both do a lot of prenatal work, like it's similar to the approach when you teach a pregnant woman, like she has this fear of birth or she has this fear of pain that's coming. And then someone says, but for me, it was empowering, right? So for one woman, the birth can be really fearful and painful. For another woman, it can be really empowering. And it's
Exactly.
biologically, it's the same thing happening, but it's how you prepare for it.
How you prepare your
Because
mindset.
no one can just show up at birth and have an empowered birth just like that. It comes
Exactly.
with the mindset and months of preparation.
Yes.
And replacing those negative thoughts that we've been bombarded with.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy younger women are now also. I had like a lady that she was at 35 even in a course. Like she's just said like my mother had a hard menopause, I want to learn now. And after that she got pregnant, had children, you know, she went even into menopause subject before. So I think this is the process and I was ignorant myself, but I was also lucky that it started quite late because there is women who actually have symptoms at 34, 40, beginning 40s, you know. So yeah, I could maybe experience that for those fertile years a little longer.
Well, thank you very much. How can people find you? What's if somebody wants to practice yoga to, to everything that we talked about, all the ways that we talked about and ways to support women's health through pregnancy, postpartum, perimenopause, and menopause, what's the best way of them to contact you and work with you?
Yeah, well, I have a studio, a physical studio in Helsinki, and the website is purnayoga.fi, so www.purnayoga.fi. And we also offer online classes. So there is weekly online classes, they are live. So you can join live. You can also join from the recording. I have a library of pregnancy and postnatal yoga classes as well. They are from a few years back, but when I saw what you do, Krish, like I need to update all that, even though the information is the same, right? Because it's not, it's just like I look a little younger.
Okay.
I love that. Talking about welcoming the next phase.
Okay. We can still love how we used to look and look
Yeah,
forward to what's
definitely.
coming,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, so basically I do also private coaching. So I help people like for whether it's pregnancy, birth, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. Like I really love to work one-on-one, which I do a lot online and at the studio as well. So yeah, our website is the best way to get to know us and get in contact with me as well.
Super. Thank you so much, Nicola.
Thank you, Krish. It was lovely talking
Yeah.
to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Yoga, Bellies, and Babies podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about practicing yoga with me, whether it's one-to-one, a group class, courses, or events, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to www.krishyoga.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.